the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey everybody, it's episode number 229 of the Golf Podcast, and we're going to dive into a topic that I like. I've been meaning to talk about this. We're going to talk about how to develop a better feel around the greens. The reason I like this is a lot of times you hear us referencing both myself and Mike within our own games when we feel like we don't have that feel, or especially in the spring when we feel like we've got to get back into it when the, you know, after a long winter and things like that. So we're going to dive into what that means, how you can develop a better feel. We're going to talk about a great drill that you can use to really hone in on some feel with your chip shot. So I'm looking forward to that. Before we dive into all that, though, I want to catch everybody up on what's been going on around Golficity, the Golf Podcast Facebook group, the Virtual Open, and of course, you know, all that other stuff is going on because we've got just so much going on. And Mike, why don't we start by first recapping, I would say our, but I'm going to say Mike's Virtual Open round. Which was, that track was beautiful. Ballyowen.
Yes. How gorgeous did that look, both on the ground and in the sky, because we did film it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, the course was in perfect shape. I mean, the greens are really running nice today, but I kind of want you to tell the story of what happened that day, because it kind of sets everything up.
It was wild. And you know what's funny is that after everything kind of thankfully worked out okay, and I'll tell you guys the story in a second, but Mike, you know, he text me or call me, I forget what it was, I'm so tired at this point, and Mike was like, you know, as much as you love Ballyowen, Frank, that course just doesn't want you to play it for some reason. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, because I think this would be my fourth round there, and I couldn't finish this round, and the reason I'll tell you guys in a second. And another time, not too long ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, I was at a bachelor party. One of my buddies was getting married there. It's also a gorgeous wedding venue. And so as part of the package, he got to have, you know, a group of guys play the course. Well, I think I was the only golfer in the group at the time. And this is no joke. It was 6 hours into the round, and it got too dark, and we had to quit, and we only got 14 holes in. That's how bad it was. Wow. I mean, these guys, all great guys. They had a lot of fun out there, but they were not golfers. They don't admit to be golfers. They would just want to have some fun. I think I was the only one out there who was. So I was trying, you know. And
you were playing well, I think.
I was playing well, and I couldn't finish it. And then I wanted that redemption. We got back out. We've played it since. I mean, I think at 1.2, the guys, they almost put a golf cart into that lake on, I think it's the 14th hole or something like that. And just because, again, it wasn't like one of those crazy drunk scenarios. It was because these guys don't play golf.
Just don't know how to,
They didn't set the parking brake on the cart, and it slowly started rolling and then pick up more and more speed. And then we saw it and we ran, and like 4 or 5 of us grabbed the cart and just put our physical brakes on it by holding it. And we held it from rolling into the little lake there. But anyway, I digress. So what happened was, and it was kind of a wild story. So we had been all set to do our Virtual Open round, which, by the way, the Golficity Virtual Open, we're up to 230 players registered. If you guys haven't hopped in yet, definitely do it. You've got all the way up until August 15th to log your round. It's 100% free. It's all in the 18 Birdies app. You can get all the information on how to get involved by going to golficity.com/open. And like I said, the event runs from July 15th all the way through August 15th. You go in, you have a little fun, you log your round, you can play anywhere. And this way we can play from all over the world. And then if you play and log your round, you're eligible for the prizes. We've got great prizes, as well as if you guys want to dive a little bit deeper into the 18 Birdies app, we've got a special deal going with them right now, where if you use coupon Golficity 2018, you get 90 days of the 18 Birdies premium, which unlocks things like the GPS Plus and all these other things. And that will basically cover you for the whole summer, so you can get a great try with it. But anyway, we had the round all set up. I'm amped. It's Ballyowen. I love that track. I hadn't gotten a chance to play it in the summer. I always play it in the fall. It's gorgeous in the fall, but I wanted to play it in the summer with all that fescue grown in. And unfortunately, my 1-year-old daughter had been sick that week. So we were dealing with kind of a rough week with a lot of high fevers throughout the week. And, you know, we'd been to the doctor. They thought it was just a viral thing and that it would just, you know, clear up. So we're just kind of treating it with Tylenol and things like that. Anyway, so that starts Monday. We progress through the week. It's a kind of a rough week. Anybody out there who has kids and when they're sick, they know what that's like. It's not a lot of sleep. It's that whole thing. And then Thursday night, you know, we're supposed to tee off on the, on our round Friday. Thursday night, we had a very difficult night. We were up all night. She was very sick, just seemingly getting worse. We're on the phone with the pediatrician. They said, you don't need to run into the emergency room. Just come in first thing in the morning. And we're just kind of whatever. Long story short, it's getting worse and worse. I'm starting to text Mike. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I haven't slept all night. And I'm like, Mike, I think we got to cancel this thing. I can't do it. I got to take this kid to the doctor in the morning. She's just not looking good. And Mike's like, I understand. Do what you got to do. We'll make it happen. We'll do one thing or the other. Anyway, it comes down to go time. I have to leave my house at 7 a.m. to get there on time for this tea time. 7 a.m. rolls around. It's just about 7 a.m. My daughter, the baby, she's starting to perk up. She's having breakfast. My wife and I are like, okay, I think she's doing better. My wife's like, I can handle this. I'm going to take her to the doctor. But if anything gets more serious, I'm going to call you. Make sure I have your cell phone. I've got Mike's cell phone. Are you reachable? Does this place have service? I'm like, yeah, we're good. So I run over there and I'm like, get to the parking lot. I'm like, Mike, I don't know how I'm going to play. I've been up all night, but I'm just happy to be here. And if I get the call, I got to go. So everything seems like it's okay. We tee off on the first hole. I hit my tee shot on the second hole. I'm out, you know, just about to play my second shot. My phone rings. It's the call nobody wants to get. You know, it's my wife. She's kind of panicking. The pediatrician is sending us to the ER. The baby's just not doing great. So it was an incredibly scary moment. So we rushed down to Westchester Medical Center. They get her right in, put her through a battery of tests. There was a point there when they were thinking appendix. Poor kid. I mean, Mike, the last thing you want to do is put your 1-year-old in a, mm-hmm. a CT scan, and I'm holding her arms and she's crying. It was a terrible day all around. And I'm like, can you get appendicitis as a 1-year-old? Like, it can happen at any time. We just have to rule it out. Long story short, the CT scan ruled out the appendicitis, but it did show a double kidney infection and a pretty significant one. So I was happy, no surgery. But we weren't out of the woods yet. We had to get the IV antibiotics in her. 3 days in the hospital, IV antibiotics, and you know, thank God she recovered. She beat the infection. We're just going to have to do, you know, about 10-day course of more antibiotics to, you know, really knock it out since we got home. But she got out of the hospital, and man, I mean, anybody again who has kids knows that it's the scariest thing when like you don't know what's wrong. You're worried. Sure. And you can't communicate with them. Like she's one, right. She can't speak. You just know she's not, it's not right. She doesn't feel right. But I can't thank all of the doctors, nurses, everybody at Westchester Medical Center. They were just amazing. They walked us through the whole thing. They were there. They were helping. And also, I posted it in the Facebook group. It really means a lot to me that all of you guys out there, you know, sent those words of encouragement and just sending your thoughts and prayers. You know, it really meant a lot to me. So I appreciate all that. And I'm happy to report she's back. She's feeling really good. Everybody's, you know, catching back up on sleep because a couple of days not sleeping in the hospital, but, everybody's doing good. I'm happy. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to redo it. I'm going to get out there and play my, my virtual open round really soon. But yeah, that was a wild one, Mike, but I'm glad at least you got to continue. You had Eric Benzenberg out there with you playing, and from the video, which by the way, if you guys haven't seen it yet, it's on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/golficity. It looks like you guys had an incredible time.
We did.
It looked like a great round out there.
We had fun, and you know, you kind of, when you did have to leave, we just had that feeling like couldn't let you down with this video. You know, I was like, I got to run this all the way through to the end, and we're going to do this thing, Eric. So let's do it. I mean, I told them right after you left, I even this clip, you'll see it on the video. I mentioned how you had to leave and you had to handle this situation. And I think as the cameras were off, I told Eric, I said, listen, you and I are just going to paint this storyline and we're going to go play golf and we're going to play an open. And it's going to be so much fun because we just looked around. The course was like immaculate.
Yeah, it was
quiet.
Beautiful day, too. Beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day. And I was like, let's do this thing all the way to the end. And we did. We had a great time and we ended up playing very well. This was my first real good round with the new clubs. Mm-hmm. I talked about how I went back to the range and I worked on things with feeling the club head a couple episodes ago, and that actually really did transition well here. You probably witnessed it. You saw it in the first two holes that you were only there. That, you know, I made par par. I actually went par 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 to start the Open. So things are really flowing well. We had a good day and we had some really awesome drone shots. I'm glad you got those. They're in the video. You know, if you've never played Ballyhoan, if you're in the tri-state area and you've gotten there and you've played it, but you haven't seen it from the sky. Oh man, it's so cool. Video came out great, Frank.
Yeah, I thought it was really brilliant. Did. And it was great to see, like, it's so funny because we just talked about this adjusting to new clubs and we said, what, it would take you 2-3 weeks to get adjusted. And it seems like that's right. Pretty much the time frame here, because you went out there, fired an excellent round at an incredibly challenging course. I mean,
right.
Anybody who sees the video will see just off the fairway is some of the thickest cabbagey fescue. There was some where you actually were showing how high it came up on you. Mm-hmm. And you'll see there too, like some of the shots are trying to punch it out of there. So it's a challenging track. You guys shot solid scores out there. That's just, you know, that's really good stuff.
And there's one notable hole I wanted to just talk about real quick is the 17th, which is a par five. And I got off the tee really nicely with the drive. I think it was maybe 270, 270 ish out with about 260 left. And I figured I got this brand new, three wood now. So let me try to go for it. It's a nice 260, 265 club. Maybe I can get lucky and trickle it up. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't. I ended up coming up way shorter. I ended up in a fairway bunker about 102 yards off the green. And this is in the video. I think I posted this in the Facebook group that I hit that new Vokey wedge, man. I put that thing about 10, 15, maybe 20 feet past the hole. And I just pulled it back on a string. It just rolled all the way back. I ended up making birdie on that hole. And that was the momentum going into the last hole. So it was really cool. I mean, it was a solid 88 for someone who's been really struggling in the mid 90s with these new clubs, just trying to get them right. I'm now back to my normal scores, and hopefully from here on out, Frank, it's mid to low 80s from here.
Yeah, I'm so glad we caught that on camera, because that was really cool to see that ball just stop and zip back the way it did.
How
especially
cool is that?
From a bunker.
Yeah,
you got a lot of spin on that from that bunker, and that was it. You know, it's excellent, and I totally dig in what you're saying, because the Vokeys have been just incredible to me as well. And, just making that switch to the, I know you're playing the Pro V1. I switched to that AVX. And I'm just getting a lot more feel and control out of it. So, that's great, but I'm sure we'll get back out again. I'm one way or another. I'm going to get through this track, Ballyhoan. And I know it just doesn't
You'll
want me to
out.
Play it, but we're going to get out there and we're going to play it.
You'll do it. But I just wanted to tell people, check out this video, because I'm super proud. This is like Mike's first video project without Frank. You know, Frank is usually like the master when it comes to these videos and crafting them and things like that. So it was like Mike's first project here. So go do me a favor, check it out, comment on it, like it, and just enjoy it.
Yeah. And Mike does, he took a lot of pride in it. It was funny. We're working with the editor for it. And like, what'd you type up? Like 4 pages of notes for the editor?
Yeah,
like
hours and hours of notes. I just wanted to get everything right with this one.
That was a labor of love for sure.
Yep, absolutely.
So check that out. It's on the YouTube channel. I'm sure, you know, we'll post it on Facebook as well, probably in the group. So check that out. But speaking of, you know, playing in my virtual open round, I haven't decided yet. I'm going to try to get out there this weekend and get my round in, because I just want to get it logged before that 15th date hits.
Well, but we've got a handful of things coming up.
We got some awesome stuff on the fire. And this kind of came out of nowhere too. Like all of a sudden just had a couple of great opportunities jump up, and man, did we pounce on them. So next week we were invited to Ridgewood Country Club for the FedEx Cup Playoffs Media Day. We're going to be covering that on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be previewing and playing the course. So of course, we're going to be vlogging that. That for me is something that I am really looking forward to. I know you've had the opportunity to play Ridgewood. I've never had the opportunity. Back when I was living down that way, we used to play Paramus a lot, which in a lot of places butts up against Ridgewood. And Paramus, you know, in its own right is a gorgeous public course. I love that track. But then when you just look over that fence, you know what I mean? And you glance at Ridgewood, you're like, whoa, look at that place.
Exactly.
I have wanted to play that place forever. We walked it when we covered it for we did the podcast there a couple of years back. I've seen the PGA Tour players do it. I've been there for venues. I've never had a chance to play it. So that's going to be awesome.
It's a challenge. It beat me up. They're long. They're tight. The rough's going to be shaggy. Greens they're tiny. Yep. There's bunkers, lots of bunkers. One of those Tillinghast designs with the large trees just lining the fairway.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge.
But I'll tell you what, I always love that when we get these chances to play in, like, especially the preview, the media previews for the upcoming PGA Tour event. When those tracks are in PGA Tour condition, there's just nothing like it. And it just adds to it when the grandstands are up, and you just kind of like, it makes you feel like, you walk in the shoes of a PGA Tour player for a day, and it's just so cool. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to do that. The other thing we're going to be doing very soon is the week after that. In fact, we're going to be back over to Sleepy Hollow, playing a teaching round with our Titleist fitter, Kevin Sprecher. You guys saw us in that video. Kevin did an amazing job just tediously working through the whole thing for our fitting. You saw us unbox those. But the other side of it is Kevin, as we've talked about before, is not just a fitter. He is one of the top teaching professionals. So I've never had a playing lesson before. So getting out there and playing with him and just learning what we can be great. And on the other side of that, Sleepy Hollow is another track, especially if you live here in the Northeast, we've talked about for a long time. I'd love to get out there. And when we chat with some of our golf buddies about it, they all, say the same thing, be like, oh man, I'd give my right arm to play out there. So I am really excited for that one. Cause that's a private course. It's hard to get out there. So that was another invite. That's like, we're like, yeah, when, where, and how we'll be there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what's funny is the day before I'm playing Forest Hills and the Friday after I'm playing Montclair Country Club. So I have three in 4 days.
Montclair is another one I want to get out there with you at some point. You've played it a few times. It always looks awesome on your stories. I got to get out there.
You got to come check it out. And a good friend of mine belongs there. So for sure, we can go out there anytime.
All right, we got to do that. We'll definitely get that on there. Mike, you want to just, before we get into the topic, you want to talk about some of the great stuff that we've got going on?
Yes. Yeah, I love hearing from the listeners, the followers, in the group, everyone in the group. We were talking about, our army, our group. We were talking about our nicknames. Guys are throwing them out there. There's some funny ones, by the way, Frank.
There are. I feel like we're getting there. We haven't quite hit the nail on the head, but we're getting there.
We're getting close, so keep throwing those out. But speaking of them, wanted to give a shout out back to some of the folks who've been kind of giving us shout outs in the group. And one in particular here, Steven writes, finally got caught up all the way on the show. That's pretty crazy since we have 228 episodes. That's a lot.
Yeah.
He's like, so what do I do now? To hop on the app, go back to episode one, tune in, blah, blah, blah. So we were talking, we were going back and forth, and he said he's been doing it all day already. And he said he has to wait a whole week now because he's been binge watching. It's like what people go through when they watch Netflix, right? Yeah. When you catch up, you're like, great, what do I do now? So that's awesome. And then the final thing he says is, thank you guys, because I've always been a low 90s, high 80s golfer, and I've already broke 83 times this year. So awesome. Love hearing that.
Those are some of my favorite. The people when they post the breakthrough stuff, like first time breaking 100, first time breaking 90, whatever it is, keep letting us know about those in the Facebook group. We'll shout out as many as we can because I love seeing that. And by the way, do you notice some of the guys are jumping in there and they're telling me they're the correct way to pronounce their last name in case I'd shout them out here.
That's so great.
I'm so bad at that. Yeah,
that's great. So they're setting you up from the start. That's perfect. One other one, actually a couple ones here, Frank. Just in the video we posted tonight with the Ballyhoon round, we had a lot of great comments coming in. And what Alex writes, guys, I've only just started watching your videos and I absolutely love them, especially the club fitting. I think the club fitting video is one of our best. I mean, that was such a cool experience. If you haven't seen that one, go back and check that out. Yeah. And then lastly, this one you'll like, Frank. Lauren says, just want to say thank you, boys, for helping me find my love for this great game again. Frank, I'm glad to hear your daughter is doing well. Cheers from Calgary, boys. So that's cool.
That is cool because, it's so relatable to my own story because I rediscovered the game. You know what I mean? And I can totally relate to that. I get it. It's like, sometimes some of us, we pick up the game when we're younger and then we get away from it because, life happens. But it is so cool. And I, another thing that I just love in general about this game is that people pick it up at all different times. It doesn't matter when you catch the bug, you kind of go all in. It's not like other things. You can't pickup baseball at 40. I mean, maybe you could try, but, right. but you know, it's not the same situation where you can pick it up and like, and really, you know, still have years and years to learn the game and excel at it. So I always love seeing that. All right. So we're going to talk today about how to develop a better feel around the greens. Before we hop into that, as always, this episode is sponsored by Titleist, the number one ball in golf. As I just spoke about before, Kevin Sprecher and our fitting. Well, let me tell you guys about Titleist Thursdays. Titleist Thursdays are a unique opportunity for every player to receive a high quality Titleist club fitting or guided trial experience with an expert Titleist product specialist. And Mike, get this. So many times I see people commenting on the YouTube videos saying, you know, how much does all this cost? Well, like I said, it varies based on your fitter. But if you're worried about cost, you guys have to check out these Titleist Thursdays because they're free, right, Mike?
Yeah, they're absolutely free. And you're not limited in what you're testing when you're there, which is the greatest feature. You'll have the ability to hit everything, full selection, Titleist metals, irons, and wedges. You're even going to be hitting the Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf balls. And because the proof is right there in the numbers, as we saw it, Frank, Titleist specialists, they're equipped with the TrackMan ball flight monitor technology that everyone knows. We see the pros using this on tour. They make sure you find the perfect equipment specifications for your game and the confidence it takes to shoot lower scores. So Titleist Thursdays, they're free. Sign up for the one that's nearest you. You could check that out. Just visit Titleist.com to learn more.
Yeah, no excuses. Free, great way to dip your toe into some of this. And like I said, so many people love seeing these fittings we've done. That's how you jump right into it. So check that out. Let's talk about, you know, feel around the greens. And feel, again, most of you guys would relate to that. That terminology, it's kind of its own like lingo. If you're newer to the game, you might not quite know what we're talking about with feel, but you know, in a golf sense, feel basically means the ability to control the distance of your shots. And it can apply to just about any shot on the course. But most times when you hear golfers talk about feel, they're talking about short game. That's largely what I think you and I are talking about when we talk about feel. And if you have that good feel, if you really, I guess that's the best way to explain it, is feel. If you've got that, it's such a big step ahead of the competition. It's such a big step towards that confidence that we're all after. You all want to be more confident in our game. And I think as you develop that, as you have that feel, you just get so much more confident. And unfortunately, there's a lot of golfers who think that feel is something you either have or you don't. You know, they feel like if you're born with good feel, you're lucky. If not, you're in trouble. But it's not the case. So don't get discouraged if you feel like you don't have a good feel around the greens. It's something that you can develop, just like other parts of your game. But as we've said before, there's no magic pill. There's no, you know, watch this one video and all of a sudden it's going to click and you're going to know it. It really requires, as with anything, putting the work in, putting the time in, getting out there, grinding. But I think what we always do with a lot of this instruction is we try to say, first identify the problem. That's half the battle. Cause a lot of guys are just kind of like chasing their tail out there. They're practicing everything and they don't know where areas really hone in on. So it's like, identify the problem. If you find that feel is a problem for you, then put a practice plan, an action plan in place that forces you to get out there, practice it, work on it, and then, you know, see that constant improvement. I think so many times we go out there and we do like a 15-minute practice drill that we saw on YouTube or something, and then we just get frustrated with ourselves the next time we're on the course. But I don't got it. I don't have the feel. Understand, it takes a lot of time. And Mike, you and I, guys who have been to a lot of PGA Tour events and seen it firsthand, we see guys who understand these guys, they're doing this for a living. They're hitting, you know, 200-300 balls a day, every single day. And yet that you'd be still so enamored with the amount of practice time goes into it. We'll see these guys on a Wednesday spending, you know, before a tournament kicks off, they'll play the whole day in a pro-am, and then they'll spend another 2 hours in the chipping and short game area and putting area, just working on that feel. And that's where the feel comes from. When you see these guys with these incredible touch on TV and being able to put the ball right next to the cup, it's because they've done it thousands of times. So understand that if you're going to set those expectations for yourself, you got to be able to commit. I know everybody can't commit 2-3 hours a day to this game, but I think if you just do focused practice when you can get out there, it's incredible. But let me do a quick sidestep because it just made me think when I said pro-am. How about Molinari, dude?
Yeah, dude, seriously.
I know. Everybody's like, the Facebook group lit up when he won, you know, the Open. but mind blowing for us. This idea that in Bay Hill, we had, you know, and again, if you guys didn't have a chance to go watch that video, go back and watch the Bay Hill Pro-Am video where we took you guys through the whole experience of playing in the Arnold Palmer Invitational Pro-Am. And part of that, it's a lotto system, a lottery system of who you get paired with. You know, as they pick your number, you have, I think it was 30 seconds to pick a player, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you go to the end. And we were one of the last people to pick. And they're just picking off all the players and a lot of people we had on our list. And luckily, we had Molinari on our list as somebody we wanted to play with. And he came up. And now, I think if you did that lotto now, he'd probably go first pick. But from Seriously. That point on, his game has just been tremendous. You know, he won his first PGA Tour event. He won the Open Championship. I mean, this guy's stock has gone through the roof, and it's so cool. Now we can say we played with a major champion.
Here's a great stat though. I want to share this PGA Tour. They actually tweeted this out the other day. Last six worldwide starts for Molinari, and these I think are the last six since Bay Hill. So get this. First place, second place, T25, first place, second place, first place.
Wow.
The Golficity effect.
That's it.
It's real.
Everybody's joking, saying, Mike, what'd you say to him out there?
I'm not going to tell anybody what I said, but I did tell him something, and he ran with it.
There you go. But I'll tell you what, the reason I was so happy to see it too is having played with him, like it couldn't have happened to a nicer, more humble guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a down to earth, great dude. I mean, the unfortunate reality was that we weren't allowed to videotape too much of our interaction with him as part of just very strict and for good reason. There's very strict PGA Tour rules when it comes to what we can capture on video. So unfortunately, in that video, you guys didn't get to see much of our interaction with him. But walking the course with him for 4 hours, we got to chat with him. I know, Mike, you talk with him a lot. And just like an incredibly insightful guy, down to earth, even with the kind of, you know, English is his second language. You know, even with that little bit of a barrier there, he was still able to just chat about a whole bunch of stuff. And he was just, you know, it was a very genuine, it had a very genuine feel to it, the entire conversation.
Oh yeah, for sure. And how big is it for Bettinardi? I mean, he just switched to them, you know? Huge. I mean, and just look where he's just, so it might be the putter and not me actually, now that I think about it, it was great to see it. I mean, again, I think he's great. I mean, I'd love to have him on the show eventually because, you know, I think he'd be a great conversation. But the coolest thing about it, and we'll just cap it off here with Molinari, he was going to retire. You saw that in about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was like part of his plan. So it just goes to show you, like, you know where your game's at and you feel like, listen, I'm just not a winner anymore on tour. Like, this is it for me. And all of a sudden you find something, you catch fix fire. Something, you catch fire, and all of a sudden you're on top of the world. He's going to be in the Ryder Cup. Now it's crazy.
Well, and speaking of what he caught, and I think this is a perfect segue back into what we're talking about, is that at the end of the day, you know, he beat up on a lot of real firepower out there in the field with his incredible short game. And we've said this before, short game is what wins. And his short game was so on point that he was the only guy to cruise through the weekend without a bogey. And at Carnoustie, imagine that, playing two rounds like that without a bogey. And so much of that was because of the fact that his short game was just dialed in. I think Tiger even said it. And I think that's, if anything, should incentivize us to go out there and work on that, because we've said this so many times. It's just, the reality is so many amateur golfers will spend so much more time working on the, you know, those more dramatic, longer shots at the range that we just don't really work on the short game. And the short game is where it really happens. The proof of it is sometimes you play with guys who don't have any long game. I've played with some guys who are, you know, in their 70s and they beat up on me, even though it, you know, they drive the ball half as far as I do. As soon as they get near the green, they're just like lights out. So, yeah. And that's where it started to spark my interest with feel. When I see these guys who have incredible feel, and it just makes up for having almost no distance. So if you're able to put both together, you're lights out. So going back to it, with regards to feel, one thing to understand is that it does really start with technique. And you might think, well, it's feel. It's like outside the realm of technique. But the reality is you can't have good feel if you have a faulty technique. The other thing we see with the PGA Tour pros is that their technique is very repeatable. You see that they do a lot of stuff to make sure of that. They work on their tempo, their timing, their pre-shot routine, everything like that. Because I've always said this, if your technique is changing, it's like your feel essentially at that point is like trying to hit a moving target. Right. So you got to really work on having that good technique, be able to strike that ball cleanly on a consistent basis. Once you can strike it cleanly on a consistent basis, that's when you can start to really hone that feel. But if you're not making clean contact, there's just no way to determine how far the ball is going to go. You know, some of these strikes that are just not like, you know, clean ball strikes are going to, it's going to dramatically vary how the distance the ball is going to go. So your first step towards improved feel should be really to work on your technique. We're not going to dive too deep into that here because we've done other entire episodes on things like chipping, pitching, wedge shots, things like that. But there, just remember to focus on those real important fundamentals, stuff we talk about a lot before. And those are things like balance, a stable head position, and getting your hands out in front of the ball at impact. This would be for chip shots. So if you can really work on those, again, I've said before, there's no real magic bullet. There's nothing like crazy, like secret sauce that the tour pros are doing that we're not privy to. But the reality is that their fundamentals are just spot on, you know, things like balance, right, things like that. They're just right there. So you don't have to do anything fancy with your technique. Just make sure you get those basics in place. Really work on that first, and then you can start to develop a little bit more feel.
Yeah, and this might actually transition to your next point that's coming up here, but a quick thing that's worked for me really well, and this occurred in the off season for me when I got, first the space for this, but some of the training aids like Chippo Golf and, you know, some wiffle ball golf balls and birdie ball, things like that, and just going in the basement. And all winter, it's all I would do. Now, I have two young kids. You have two young kids. You know, being able to just go downstairs and then they watch them play, and honestly, I'm just chipping balls like as I'm watching them play, like in between playing with them or whatever. I'm just trying to carve that time out. It's crazy. But I think I've developed a really nice feel. It's actually probably the best part of my game right now. It has been for some time now. And I can afford to, you know, get aggressive off the tee, get aggressive with my approach shot, because I know if I miss that green, I know that I'm going to be there within a foot or two and I can probably make that one putt. So that's been the best part of my game, and I kind of owe it to those indoor, inside, and the ones you can even bring outside, chipping training aids. I think they're awesome. They develop that feel.
It's two solid points there. I've said before, like when my chipping is really on fire and when I feel like I can rely on it, it's right. I can get that much more aggressive going after pins and stuff because I know that if I miss, you know, my confidence is way up. If I miss, I know I can really rely on the chipping. Where the other side of it, if you feel like you're like really shaky at that shot, you get nervous with your approach because you're like, oh man, what if I miss this green? How am I going to get it up and down? So that's so true. And the other thing is, yeah, like myself included, we live very busy lives. We don't always get a chance to drive down to the local practice facility. So what you obviously can't, I mean, maybe with a net, but you can't really practice your full swing shots at home. But if we're saying that short game is one of the most important parts, especially chipping and stuff like that around the green, that's something that even if you have a small backyard or if you have, like you said, the training aid stuff you can use indoors, some of those softer balls, whatever it may be, you can like start to work on some of your technique and keep that fresh.
Right.
And we've talked about that through the winter too. Mm-hmm. But it does lead into my next point here, which is just hitting plenty of shots. And I know that may be obvious, but if you're going to have a great feel around the greens, you need to hit a lot of shots from around the greens. You got to get used to it. You got to get used to seeing it and feeling it. And it's, as we've said, it's very easy to fall in love with hitting driver on the range. It can be a lot of fun, but your game is going to be limited if you limit your practice just to that. So spend a significant amount of your practice time working on short game shots, and your feel is going to really improve along the way. The more you do it, the better you're going to get. Another important takeaway is to try breaking each shot into two parts. And this is one problem that a lot of average golfers run into from a feel perspective, is that they don't actually know where they're aiming when they're hitting a short game shot. And sure, the hole is the final destination, but you certainly can't land the ball right there. You know, it's going to bounce and it would roll beyond the cup. So what you really want to do, you know, target for your swing is actually the point where you want the ball to land. So pick a landing spot, focus on that stage of the first stage of the chip shot, of landing the ball there. And once the ball lands, it'll bounce, it'll roll out. And that's where you can get into some things like whether you're going to chip it high, chip it low. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that are going to determine the amount of run out. But it is so true. I think a lot of us, we just, our only target is the cup, and we just kind of just go after it. But you'd be surprised how much just this little change in aim can really help your game by just picking a spot where you want the ball to land, and then just getting a rough calculation based on how far and how low or high you've hit it, what it's going to run out to. I think that that's a good way to really improve here, without a doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just getting much, much more confidence with the new clubs. I mean, that adds to it. So, I mean, even in the tighter lies now, I'm feeling really good. The thick shaggy lies feeling pretty good. So, you know, I totally agree with you that this is the part of the game that you really need to hone in on. I mean, anyone can kind of change up their approach getting off the tee. I was going to switch to the strategy of going off the tee with irons at Ballyhoon, but you obviously saw that the driver was working, so I stuck with it. Yeah. And you know what? It, like I said before, it allowed me to get more aggressive. The short game saved me. It helped me break 90 that day. Yep. I did not hit all my greens. I did not hit all the fairways. I was scrambling a lot. I was in that fescue a lot, mm-hmm. but I was able to scramble to save bogey a lot and even par. So, you know, I for newbies, anyone breaking into this game and you know, they want an area to start, I would totally start here.
No doubt. And yep. and not only start, but also if you're getting back into it, because listen, if you're like us and, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you are like us. And the reality is you'd love to play golf all the time, but real life gets in the way. You know, mm-hmm. you saw the extreme example of that, as I said earlier, with my daughter. But other things happen. You know, you have long stretches where you don't get a chance to play golf. You know, work gets in the way, travel gets in the way, weather gets in the way. You know, we have that with the winter here. And, you know, when you get out of the game for a while and then you get back into it, you know, it's very often that we want to just go out there and just start swinging again, you know, and hitting those, you know, longer shots. But the reality is it can kind of like riding a bicycle. Your full swing actually comes back much quicker than your short game. And mm-hmm. I said this, if you go back and listen to some of the earlier episodes this year in the spring, I was lamenting the same thing. I was saying, Mike, I feel like I'm hitting the ball well, but the short game's not there yet. The feel's not there. And I had said, it's kind of what takes the longest to come back. So knowing that, I think if it's early in your return, whether it be a seasonal return or an injury return, whatever it is, if it's earlier in your return, try to commit to making a short game a top priority of your practice. Hit plenty of putts and chips. Work on getting that feel back as soon as possible, because it's going to be playing catch up with the rest of your game. Trust me, your full swing is going to come back a lot quicker and you're going to be rusty. So keep things simple. Focus on some easy chip shots, bump and runs, things like that. You don't need to go after those crazy flop shots just yet. Just get out there. If you haven't played in a while, just hit a ton of bump and runs, hit a ton of like chip shots, and just start to work that feel again. Trust me, I know that the full swing is the flashy part of the game, but it'll come back quicker. And you don't want to have it where, as I had a situation earlier this season, I was striking the ball well, but scoring terribly. You remember I was talking a little bit about mm-hmm. that, because I felt like I was hitting it well. And that's where you say, this scorecard does not reflect how I was playing, because you feel like you were hitting the ball so well, but then it was sloppy around the greens, you know, and it doesn't have to look dramatic. Obviously, a drive that goes way off looks dramatic. You know it. You know you mishit it, but it can be sneaky. It can hurt you in a sneaky way because it looks less dramatic if your chip shots aren't on. So, for example, if it doesn't look like as big a miss, it's not a big slice into the woods. But if your chip shot, you're leaving, you know, 30 feet from the hole. Now you've got to work to two putt that.
Yeah.
Versus mm-hmm. just the difference. We're talking about a difference of 20 feet, right? Let's say you chip it within 10 feet. That's a definite two putt, and you got a chance of one putting that. So a difference in just 20 feet can make a dramatic difference in your score. And yet it doesn't look as dramatic of a miss as a big slice into the woods, you know?
Right.
And that's why I think a lot of us don't focus enough time on it.
Makes sense.
But if you do get the time to work on it and you get some time together and practice it, a great feel drill. I really like this one. I also like it because not only does it develop feel, it simulates pressure. We've talked about before where people lament about why do I play so well in practice but not out on, you know, in the course. And a large part of that is because there's no pressure. You don't feel any pressure when you're just practicing. So simulating that, we've talked about a number of different drills you can do to simulate that on the range. But this is one thing you can do, you know, when chipping. And just start by taking 5 golf balls. And you want to just don't line yourself up for anything crazy off the bat, downhill chips, uphill chips. Just try to find a flat practice green and use one of the holes as a target. Chip the first ball towards the hole, but intentionally leave it short by a few feet. That right there is going to give you a little bit of a feel because you're trying to hit a target in a spot that's other than the hole. But then what you want to do with the next 4 balls, try to chip each shot in between the first ball and the hole itself. So you got, and if you really want to get intense with it, you almost do a ladder where each ball, you try to chip it a little bit further than the last one, but not quite past the cup, where you've got to keep getting a narrower and narrower target. I like that. That really simulates pressure. So you may say, chip the first ball, leave it 5 feet short. Then the next ball, try to get inside that 5 feet, but not to the cup. Then the next ball, try to get inside that ball, but not, and just keep working. And then if you really want to simulate pressure, make a little like decree for yourself that you're not going to stop the, you know, this practice until you do it, until you make it all the way through. Cause trust me, on that 4th chip and you're chipping to a target that's like a foot and you're like, the nerves and the pressure is there. So it simulates that pressure because, you know, if I miss this, I got to start this whole drill over again.
Oh man, you leave at 3, you come home at 9, you got to explain yourself.
Exactly. You're like, hey, I'm doing that old ladder drill. You know, what do you want from me?
Right.
But that's the thing. And it's going to, if you're going to succeed at that drill, it's going to require you to be able to hit the ball the same distance over and over. It's going to be harder than you think. But if you make it through that drill, you know, you're going to start to realize that this really can translate well onto the course. So give that a try. If you have tried it, let us know how it went by posting it in the Facebook group. But no matter what level of player you are now, working towards improving your feel, we can always get our feel, can always be better. Working on this part of your game, trust me, is one of those things that's going to translate to the score pretty quickly. It's hard work in a lot of ways. It's a little bit of a tedious work. It's not super flashy, but it makes all the difference when you start to post those scores that everybody wants to brag about on social, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So get out there, try it. And if you guys have any of your own drills for developing feel, I want to hear those too. Post them in the Facebook group. If you're not part of our Facebook group yet, just go to Facebook, just search The Golf Podcast or Golficity. You'll see the group. It's a free group. Join up, jump in the conversation, and let us know because I want to hear it. So that's everything we have this week. Mike, anything else you want to wrap up before we let him go?
No, man. I'm hoping you pick one of these upcoming locations for your virtual open, whether it's Sleepy Hollow, Ridgewood. I don't know if you want to do that to yourself, but
yeah, I tell you what, that'd be a real challenge. But that's one thing I also like about the virtual open. It does take a handicap into effect.
Yep, and it'll bump it up for the course.
It is smart enough, to do it based on the slope of the course. So if you're let's say a 12 handicap, but you're playing a really difficult course, it may say you're a 15 here. So it does help to level the playing field a little bit.
And what I love about looking at the live leaderboard, when you click the individual's names, you could see the course that they played their round. And going through and just tapping the names one by one, I saw some really awesome courses.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of cool to have a really cool name in there.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of my favorite parts about this, the virtual open. And we probably should have covered it even more in the video, but the live leaderboard is just so cool.
It's the best part. It's like, where else are you going to get that?
Yeah, you're not going to. It's that PGA Tour experience. And if you're entering your score as you go through your round and seeing yourself move around the leaderboard, that's so cool. Or like I said, when I'm not playing, anybody who's in the tournament can at any time check the leaderboard in the 18 Birdies app. And even when I'm at work, I'll like jump in, I'll look at it, I'll look at people's rounds, you'll see it live and people are playing and jumping around the leaderboard. It's a really cool thing. It's something you don't get many other places.
It was cool after the third hole when I went par, par, par to see myself T7. I got excited before plummeting down the leaderboard later on.
That course will bite you.
Mm-hmm.
But great stuff. Guys, check out the video. Check out the video of Mike and Eric's virtual open round. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment on the video on YouTube. We read all those comments. We love seeing those comments. So leave a comment. Check it out. And we're going to have some great videos. So if you haven't done so, so far, make sure you subscribe on our YouTube channel, because that's where we drop the videos first. And we'll also throw those on Facebook for you guys, and you'll see them in the app. But if you want to be the first to see it, it always hits YouTube first. So check it out there, and we'll see everybody again next week.